The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Happy Founders Day. This was Reverend Master's, one of her favorite days of the year, because, of course, Kōhō Zenji was her master, so it meant a great deal to her to have Founders Day. Traditionally, we celebrated on the 1st of November, but since that's often midweek and people can't come, we moved the whole Sagaki and Founders Day thing to the weekend, and here we all are. So yesterday we celebrated Sagaki, the feeding of the hungry ghosts, and many of us were here and a few of us weren't. And for those who are not here, a hungry ghost is traditionally represented as a being with a tiny little throat and a great swollen belly of hunger, wanting to accept and not being able to receive nourishment. And as a result of unappeasable greed, desire, wanting, whether it's wanting food, which is the way they're traditionally represented, they eat and the food turns to fire and water turns to horrible things. And the idea being that we're wanting something, but it never being enough, it never feeling that whole, whether it's food, money, the Dharma, you know, wanting to understand the truth, but not actually being able to open oneself to it and let go, open one's throat, as it were, and let it in. There's a lot of different meanings to that, but I won't go into it all because many of us have been talking about it all weekend. So, but somebody asked me to talk about the offertory for Sagaki, which is really beautiful, and I will read you the whole thing, and we'll talk about it a bit. The body of the Buddha permeates the universe. It manifests itself in front of all of us. There is no place where it does not so manifest itself. It does so for every relationship and in all need, yet it is still in its own true place. The seas of its merit cannot be counted. We pray that the three treasures may give us their loving kindness. We have decorated these altars and offered many things that exist within the sea, the fields and the mountains, and opened the gate of the Dharma that is the most excellent in all the world. We have made much ceremonial and recited the scriptures. We pray that the merit thereof may be turned to the good of all animate things in the endless world, and to the spirits that are lacking in wealth in the nether worlds, and to the evil and wicked in heaven. We pray that everything may realize the truth and be released from all bad karma. Make the hidden and apparent free and complete the right and true wisdom. So that's a really beautiful thing to round out a ceremony of offering to unfortunate beings and our own unfortunate karmic tendencies. It just wraps the whole thing up. Everything is part of the Buddha nature, nothing left out. The body of the Buddha permeates the universe. No conditions, nothing excluded, nothing held back. Everything is part of that. The body of the Buddha means Buddha nature. It's not Shakyamuni Buddha, clearly. He died a long time ago. It's Buddha nature, permeates everything, permeates the universe, not just our own little world. The whole universe is part of Buddha nature, much bigger than we can possibly imagine. And it manifests itself in front of all of us. Here it is, right here, right now, in all the conditions of our lives. Nothing left out, nothing unworthy, nothing rejected, nothing not good enough, nothing too ordinary or mundane, nothing too despicable, nothing too good for it. Body of the Buddha permeates everything and manifests itself in front of all of us, and we are all part of it. We're all part of this body of the Buddha. We're not left out. no matter what we may think of ourselves, or no matter what we may think of other beings, or what they may think of themselves, or no matter what the conditions of our lives or anybody else's, body of the Buddha is right here. In war, in disaster, in life, in death, in sickness, in horrible situations, in cruelty, in terror, everything, all embraced within that. That's quite something. It's more than we can fathom. How can we imagine that the body of the Buddha embraces all the dreadful things in our lives? And yet it does. And we can trust that. There is no place where it does not so manifest itself, says the upper tree. No place at all. It contains everything. Everybody, without stint and without exception. No conditions. This is a lovely thing about our ceremony of Sakaki. We offer things to all beings. We don't look, we don't make sure they fit to get in the door. We just offer it to everybody. Even in the realm of the hungry ghosts, where there's immense suffering, self-judgment, craving, unappeasable wanting, still the body of the Buddha is there. Manifests itself in that very realm, in all the realms of the hellish states that people can be in. None of it left out. And it does so for every relationship and in all need. All our relationships, Buddha nature is right here within all our relationships, whether they're a blessing in our life, or they're really painful, or just ordinary. When we're there in the supermarket, we're related to everybody. The checkout person, the other customers in line, maybe they're all grumbling because the person's taking so long or whatever, or they're chatting about their kids, We're all related and we're all part of that. Or we're on a bus or an aeroplane, somebody falling asleep on us, that happens. Here's this person. Sometimes I think, this person is closer to me than anybody else in this world, physically, and yet I know nothing about them. And there's something really wonderful in that, All these sleeping people in this little tube flying through the sky. But it's beautiful because they just kind of entrust themselves to each other, It's not, you can't fall asleep in the presence of everybody, and some people don't, but just see all these snoozing people, some of them watching TV, some of them looking out the windows, but many of them just quiet, sleeping. Then, of course, if something were to happen, suddenly we'd come together. And people would help each other, because they do that. When something happens, the plane might lurch, and people would say, oh my God, what's going to happen? Suddenly, people kind of turn to each other and come together in a beautiful way. When there's the hurricanes and the floods we've had and the fires, people came together. That was the thing that really struck people, how they would come together in the suddenness of some awful thing. People come together, unstinting, to complete strangers helping out. Because that's the body of the Buddha, but all part of it. And instinctively, we know that, and we turn towards it. And ideally, mostly, people show their best. Not always, but by and large. And I think, even when people don't rise to their best, they want to. They would like to be heroes. They would like to be really helpful, to put aside self and help all beings. They'd like to do that. Sometimes people are just too afraid to manage to do that. But still, there's that wish, I think, in all of us. The wish to actually turn to the good, to help beings, to act from that place of connection, non-separation. I was reading a book recently about people in prison, letters from them. And one of these people it was terrible prison, really, really awful. I had no idea how bad prison could be. I knew it wasn't good, but the way people treat each other and the way they're sometimes treated. But these prisoners had been learning to meditate and practice the Buddha's teachings. And it's so inspiring. Here's this one of them, who has great pain, and working, because he had rheumatoid arthritis, apart from everything else, and was working on practicing kindness and making little offerings to people, practicing meditation, mindfulness, keeping to the precepts, and making offerings of kindness to people. And people would respond, both the prisoners and the guards, other prisoners. He'd give something to somebody who could see they needed it. And it wasn't just his friends, but anybody. Oh, this person could really use a little kindness. Even just a friendly word or a smile or, you know, a little joke or something. And the guards, too. Some of them would be really kind of unhappy and embittered. And a good many of them would respond with kindness. Because actually, we all have it within us, no matter what our conditions. I thought this was such a wonderful illustration of how Buddha nature's right there in the hell realms. If there's any hell realm, I would think it's prison. And people just transcending that, showing kindness and doing their training in the midst of really dreadful conditions. So I found that very inspiring. If they can do it, I can do it. To go back to our offertory. The body of the Buddha manifests itself for every relationship and in all need. Yet it is still in its own true place, says our offertory. It's still in its own true place. It manifests in all beings, in all these situations. It's dynamic because things are constantly moving. And it's still in its own true place. It does not really move. It's not somewhere else. It's here. We can turn towards it. We can rely upon it. Because we're part of it. It's not separate. It's not different. It's not elsewhere. It's always here. In all situations, all places, for all beings, for us. The seas of its merit cannot be counted. There's boundless merit. We make merit, they say. We create merit by making our offerings and reciting our scriptures and doing the ceremony we just did today. That's an offering of merit. And yet it's not our own personal private merit. It's just merit that comes through us. We kind of encourage it. It comes into us, we send it out to all beings. Sometimes to specific beings, sometimes just generally. Just our offering of goodness, of goodwill, of wishing the best for beings, whether we know them or not, for people we know, people we don't, for the hungry ghosts, for all creatures, animate and inanimate, known and unknown. We offer merit. It comes through us because we don't own it. We're not separate in any way. And the offering of merit helps us to see that, that there's no separation between ourselves and other beings. Everything we do affects others, like these people in prison. The offering of merit spreads out to other beings in strong, remarkable ways. Sometimes we see it, often we don't. But we all partake in that merit. The seas of the merit of Buddha nature cannot be counted. None of us is excluded. No one unworthy, not good enough. All of us, nobody lacking. All of us are part of that merit. We just encourage it by doing the best we can, keeping to the precepts, practicing kindness, and doing things like coming to a ceremony, doing our meditation practice, sitting still. Wonderful. We pray that the three treasures may give us their loving kindness. They already give us their loving kindness. We can't stop them. Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha constantly pour out their loving kindness to us and to all beings. Buddha nature is that basic kindness that was within all of us, within all things. Just the sun shining on us and the plant growing and all this, it's all kindness that we receive, and we can recognize it and appreciate it, or we can take it for granted and gobble it down. But if we see it, turn towards it, open our eyes, open our throats to it, then we can really receive that kindness. We can pray that they give us a loving kindness, but we know that they already do. Praying for it helps us to open to it, to recognize it, that kindness as it comes to us in all the myriad ways in our lives, all the things that help us in our life, the Buddha nature, the Dharma that helps us immeasurably, helps us to see all this, helps us to accept our lives, and the Sangha, each other, and all those who have gone before us, that pass the Dharma down to us, immeasurable kindness that we now receive and pass on. Some people have terribly difficult lives, awful situations, and you think, how could we say that they're receiving loving kindness? And yet there is kindness in just about anybody's life. There's somebody who may be kind to that child or that person who is all messed up. Some relative or some friend or somebody who does them a kindness. Even another person in prison gives them something. And there's that kindness there that people can recognize, be grateful for, and pass on. And when somebody is kind to us, we're more inclined to be kind to somebody else. It spreads out like ripples. And people in dreadful conditions altogether help each other, as we just said, in some horrible emergency or dreadful situation. People help each other with incredible kindness and selflessness. We pray, lift it a little bit out, but I'll go here. We pray that the merit thereof, of all our offering, all our ceremony and all the things we've offered, we pray that the merit thereof may be turned to the good of all animate things in the endless world, and to the spirits that are lacking in wealth in the nether worlds, and to the evil and wicked in heaven. Well, turning the merit to the good of all animate things in the endless worlds, all humans, plants, animals, all that, all beings, to the spirits lacking in wealth in the nether worlds, those who are in unfortunate circumstances, the hungry ghosts, whether they're here, people on this earth now, or whether they're people in some other realm, wherever, whether we see them or not, whether we believe them in them or not, whether they exist as we would imagine people existing or in some completely different way, we offer merit to all of these beings. And to the evil and wicked in heaven. This is interesting. I always thought, why are the evil and wicked in heaven? For years I've been puzzling about this, and I still don't completely understand it, to be quite honest. Here I am thinking about it again this morning, thinking, oh God, I have to say something wise about this. Well, for one thing, heaven doesn't last forever, not for Buddhists anyway. Heaven lasts for a while, and eventually, well, merit runs out, and we're back somewhere else. So, you know, it's not perfect, and it may not be all it's cracked up to be. It's said that those in the heavenly realms, the devas, traditionally, in Buddhism, it's said that they have immensely long lives. They live for hundreds of years. And you might think, well, that would be nice, but apparently they get fed up with it, you know. And they say, how nice to be a human being. You have this short life. You have sufferings. You can really practice the Dharma. We have this endless niceness. And it's kind of boring, you know. And we'd like to actually just get on with things, have a human body, and actually be able to find the truth. Because having a nice life is not the very best thing. And we know that. We don't just want a nice life. We want to know better. We want to realize truth, to know what, to know our oneness with Buddha nature. We all have that longing within us. We don't just want to be happy. And Brahma Master used to say, even a dog sleeping in the sun could be happy. Is that all you want? You know, there's something better than that. So the evil and wicked in heaven stuck with this happy existence, you know, or this seemingly happy existence, I would think you'd get tired of it. Anyway. That's as far as I've got with this. You know? We pray that everything may realize the truth and be released from all bad karma. Make the hidden and apparent free and complete the right and true wisdom. That everything may realize the truth. Everything, not just people, but everything. Animals, other beings, as I said, nothing left out. Nobody left out. Things, whatever you might not think of as a person, but all kinds of beings. Animals have a pretty tough existence, actually. And the beings in the hells and the hungry ghost realms. Whether we believe in them or not, or whether we think of those as just realms within this human realm, there's still immense suffering there. May they all realize the truth and be released. Be released from all bad karma. Let it go. To see we don't need to hold on to it. We don't need to hold on to our suffering, our judgments of ourselves. To be released from our fear, anger, despair and all that. To accept our karmic conditions without resentment. This is just what I have to deal with. And it may be exactly what I need to help me with my suffering, to help me with my anger, my despair and all that. I don't need to know the reasons for everything. To make the hidden and apparent free. The apparent, maybe we can see why we're the way we are, why we have the tendencies we have, why we have some of the situations we have. We probably won't see all of it, but to see little bits of it, that's why I'm like this, okay. Sometimes we have no idea. We don't know why we are the way we are. That's okay. We just do our best with it. To know, I need to work on my anger, I need to work on my fear and despair and selfishness and greed and all that. I don't have to know every single reason for everything. If I'm weight, I might die of old age before I get there. We work on it now. We know what you've got to do, really. I need to, to look at myself, to look at my tendencies with kindness, and let them go. Not have to justify everything, not have to fix everything, not have to know about everything, be in charge of everything, but simply to do the best we can with what we've got, with our own suffering, with the conditions of our lives, those difficult relationships we may have, to do our best with all of them, and to see that they can actually help us. We have them for a reason. Even if we don't know what it is, we can trust that there's a reason we have this particular thing. And I can work on it with kindness, acceptance, and faith. Thinking we have to know about everything before we can work on it, somehow fix it, somehow I'll know, that's what it is, okay. Well, it doesn't mean it goes away. I've still got to work with it. And finally, to complete the right and true wisdom. This is interesting. To complete it. To complete the right and true wisdom. It doesn't say realizing it or being one with it. It doesn't say knowing wisdom. It says to complete it. And I think that is actually to be one with it. Like our little jigsaw puzzle piece falling into place. To complete that. To accept our conditions. Not wanting something, not demanding something, not insisting on knowing about everything. But to trust that we are part of the right and true wisdom. We are part of the body of the Buddha. It's much bigger than we can imagine. To relinquish our resistance, our feelings of separation. I have my little jigsaw puzzle piece separate over here, otherwise I won't know where I am. Actually, when you're working on a jigsaw, I love jigsaws, you find it, you're looking for this little piece, you find it, it goes in there, and it disappears. It's gone. Somehow it's just part of the puzzle. And you're looking for the next one. But when we're part of the whole thing, we just take our place to complete right and true wisdom. We're no longer separate. We're not a separate little piece. We're not a separate little me. with my own little selfish concern and self-judgment and self this and that. We just fall into place, as it were, within that right and true wisdom, doing our best within it, simply being an unspecial part of the body of the Buddha, an unspecial little piece of the puzzle. We're all different. We all have our own little part to play. None of us is exactly like anybody else. And none of us is special. We're all just part of the picture. And we take our place within it to complete the right and true wisdom, not insisting on knowing it or having it all figured out, but just to do our part, to slip into place, do the best we can with our relationships, our difficulties, our karmic impediments, seeming impediments, our feeling of being a me, all that stuff, to just accept it, do our best with it, to be released from all bad karma, to be released from clinging to it and letting it run our life. Doesn't mean it all goes away. It just means we don't cling on to it. And to complete that right and true wisdom. This is for us. That's it. Thank you.